May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Did you hear that gospel? Was it good news for you? Or did something in it make you feel a bit uncomfortable? What theme in it did you hear? And I'll ask, call out, what theme or word jumped out for you?
Humility,
thank you. Challenge, yes.
Jesus loved him.
Loved, yes. We got that one.
Tough message.
It's a tough message. It's almost a shocking message because two lots of people are pretty shocked in this.
Sacrifice.
Persecution. Thank you. Well, no one's mentioned wealth or money or possessions, which is what jumped out for me. Who?
We ran away from it.
Yeah, all right. Do you want to leave now? Yes. Well, does it make a difference to be a Christian with regard to money and possessions? Does that make a difference to you? I think that the story of the rich young person and then of how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God with possessions are very challenging. Indeed, the first verse from the book of Hebrews that Sue read for us just might apply to our gospel. I'll just read that first verse again. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Oh, the word of God is able to judge the intentions of our hearts. Jesus certainly did that with the young man. Who has ever left family or sold everything for Jesus' sake and the sake of the gospel? St. Francis comes to mind, a rich young man who gave up all the privileged living his father was providing and started what later became the Franciscan Order of Monks. Some of you, not a lot in this congregation, may remember back when Dr. Margaret Coston was a member of this parish. Yes, Phil does. One of her younger children was studying at St. Mark's when I was. Margaret was amazed and proud that this daughter had given away all she had to follow Jesus. The Bible shows us frequently that God has a special heart for the poor. And Jesus showed great care for the poor and outcast. And this parish does in several ways. Yet on this we may be judged more than we would like. Jesus says the first will be last and the last will be first. The Magnificat, Mary's song, is good news for the poor. Good news for the rich is a bit harder to find, but it is there. In today's passage, there are two signs of great hope. First, Jesus looked at the man, loved him. Imagine what a loving look Jesus would have. Now imagine him looking at you with such love. Whether you are comfortably off or have nothing or are struggling on a pension. Secondly, Jesus loved a bit of exaggeration and said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were shocked. Then who can be saved? They said. But then was the glorious word of hope. For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible. What a God! Does this not express the love of God, the forgiveness of God, and the undeserved grace of God for each one of us? This is such good news. I once read an item about Zacchaeus, that little tax collector watching for Jesus up in a tree. despised by the people, this rich little man was noticed by Jesus, greeted by Jesus, welcomed socially by Jesus, and Zacchaeus' heart was changed. He received God's acceptance and love, and his attitude to money changed, and his actions followed. This is a good news for the rich story. We are living in a very materialist world. Our media tell lots of stories of people who've made a lot of money, and lots of stories of people who've lost all they had from bushfires, unfortunate investments, gambling, and so on. If, as is measured, most people nowadays do not have any interest in church life or the teachings of the Bible, can we show them a different way to their thinking that money and more money brings happiness and fun and power and maybe love? I have just finished reading a book on Australian Anglican schools by Ruth Edwards, her husband's Bishop Trevor. It is a helpful book to understand the challenges in running Anglican schools with the expectations of a very good education, yet underpinned by the values of the Christian faith. She researched this for her PhD. She quotes a career advisor she knows who was reflecting on contemporary society in general and the aspirations of her own students, who put this in its starkest form. And I quote, "I talk to the boys about their values and what they want out of life daily and personally. And because my values don't tend to match, I often feel quite an anachronism. They say, 'I want money. I don't care what I do as long as I earn a lot of money.' I can quote boys who say, 'I don't care what I do. I just want to look out my window when I'm 30 and see my Mercedes down there.' And if I talk about feeling satisfied or contributing to the community, they look at me as if I'm speaking Swahili. And I say, 'What do you think would make you really happy? Would earning more money but not following what you love, would that make you happy?' And they say, 'Yep.' I've heard other research shows that Christians are usually happier than those with no faith. It must be very hard for our young people to have a healthy view of the place of possessions in a life amongst their friends and the constant advertising these days. Can we model something better for them without seeming weird to them? What do I think? I think that if you believe that what you get and have are gifts from God to be thankful for, then you worry less about money. You take some care of it and you share it with others, including those helping to share the good news of Jesus, which of course includes the church. Jesus spoke often about attitude to possessions. Let me just list some of them. In the temple, he observed the Pharisee and the tax collector. And he observed the widow who gave her only coin. He spoke of taxes for Caesar and gifts for God. He told the stories of the prodigal son who wasted his father's money and was still loved. The good Samaritan who paid for care for the robbed man. The rich fool who built more barns for his crop and died soon after. And the unmerciful servant who did not forgive another one his debt. And so on. So riches can be an obstacle to Christian discipleship, as it was for the rich young man. Or it can be an opportunity to grow as a person and to grow in faith. If you hear Jesus say, "Follow me," as he said to that man, is your response to grieve? Or do you rejoice? What is your impediment? It may be to an initial decision to follow him. But it also may be some further blockage years after that to follow him closer, to sense a closer relationship with God, to growing in a prayer life or service of some form. We have our impediments. But remember, for God, all things are possible. Amen.